sadly, we'll start things off today, Sue, as we saw a robbery, for lack of a better word, with some iPads from Tri-North Middle School. Do you guys have any update on that, or is that investigation still ongoing?
Well, you know, fortunately, nobody, like, trusts me to do any kind of police investigation.
That's good. Let the experts handle it, right?
I know, exactly. And that really isn't, you know, part of our responsibility. However, of course, like everybody else, we are really concerned about how that was able to happen and that it did happen and what we do going forward to make sure that something like that doesn't happen again.
Exactly right. And for those of us who weren't with us earlier in the week, $12,000 to $15,000 worth of iPads were stolen from
30
of them were stolen from Tri-North Middle School. The other interesting part of that was perhaps a unsecured window played a part in that as well. So the law of unintended consequences will mean Tri-North will get a once-over and make sure everything is taken care of over there.
Well, and I think not just Tri-North. I think it reminds us, you know, for all of our schools.
Yeah, there are bad people out there. And just because you're at a school doesn't mean they're going to leave you alone.
And also remember, I mean, this was a secured cart. I mean, this cart had to be totally demolished. Excuse me, to get those computers out of it. So they're locked in a charging cart that's really, really secure, so I'm not sure what somebody does to break open that. But then also, as you said, a window that wasn't secured. So that's just a really good reminder. And plus, I think sometimes people might see this as a really easy target because it's not like a store that's open 24 hours that has people around. You know, it's quiet, nobody's around. And there's equipment in there that's valuable in all of our schools. So, yeah, it's a great reminder.
Well, the good news is the police will find who did this, and we'll be on our way, and everything. Hopefully, we'll be back.
Yeah, because I can't imagine where you unload that many.
Well, criminals
computers.
Aren't very smart either, Sue. We know that.
So. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Well, we just hope to get that back into some normal activity. Now, we know on February 2nd, which was Monday of this week, the registration for kindergarten is open. And what I want to remind people is we talked about it, and then we know the kindergarten open house is a week from tonight.
February 12th.
But these events are interdependent of each other.
Right.
That's important.
Right. And all of our elementary schools will be having an open house, so that everyone can visit their assigned elementary school. They get to go in there with their kids, see the school, meet the staff, get a feeling for what it's going to be like for these really little kids to be in school next fall. And I think, you know, it's a great way to kick that off and start these kids feeling a little bit more comfortable by being able to go into a fun open house environment.
And again, registration began on Monday.
Right.
Registration runs through August.
Well, it runs through the first day of class.
Exactly right. So I don't want people to get all nervy. Oh, geez, I don't have any time between now and next Thursday. Uh-huh. Well, that's not the case. You can go look next Thursday. You can sign up whenever you need to sign up. Heck, some people probably have houses for sale. They don't know what district they're going to live in.
Right.
So you can go look and do anything you'd like on
that. Well, exactly. And even if you're living in one district, Mike, and you might be, you know, thinking about moving someplace else in the community, you can certainly go to the open house where you live now and at least get a feel for what kindergarten's going to be like for your kids.
Well, and the other thing, Sue, is that any of our schools will welcome you and your child anytime, whether you miss the open house or not, come and take a look around.
Right. I think that's a really good point. And if people aren't sure what elementary school district they're in, they can call MCCSC and somebody will let you know what school you can visit.
That's right.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. They both serve on the MCCSC school board. Keith serves as president. And Keith, you have a legislative, I don't want to say meetings to get together, but folks can come and hear about what's happening next Tuesday. Tell us, Sue and Keith, all about that.
Let's start, Sue, with the fact that let's do the legislative things that are going on in Indiana right now, because that leads into this session on February the 10th. So go ahead. You had some things you want to say about what's going on in the legislature.
The reason this legislative session that we're holding, it's part of the school board's ongoing community conversations, and we're going to have a number of people, including Matt Pierce from the state legislature and Dr. Hunter from Fairview, and a number of other people who are going to be speaking.
Well, I can give
about
a list. Dean Geraldo Gonzalez, Paul Farmer. Dean Gonzalez is the dean of the IU School of Education. Paul Farmer, the president of the MCEA and a teacher at Bloomington High School North. Kathy Fuentes Rohrer, president of the local chapter of the Indiana Coalition for Public Education and an MCCSC parent. And Mike Welsh, a retired MCCSC principal and a community member. That's the panel that's going to be talking on February 10th.
And the reason this is so important is some of the legislation that's out there right now, we've seen a Senate committee and a House committee vote to remove the superintendent of public instruction as the chair of the State Board of Education, which has always been part of that person's responsibility. We know that ever since Glenda Ritz was elected as superintendent of public instruction, there's been controversy and debate in the legislature. There's been some differences of opinion. So this is the legislature's attempt to remove some of her power. So we'll be talking about that. Also, some of the budget issues where a third of the new spending allegedly is supposed to go to charter schools, and the governor has proposed listing caps on the voucher amounts. All of that money comes out of the education budget before the money goes into public schools, which means we're probably going to see a reduction in the money that's going to our traditional public schools. The other thing that they're looking at is changing the definition of failing schools for intervention from the state from 6 years to 4 years, and they're also considering widening the definition of failing schools to include D schools.
Well, there's another aspect that they're working on, too, and that is redefining what a quality teacher is. The school's been going through this for years to get their standards, and now they're going to change the standards.
Right, and again, I think we question, Keith, as members of a local school board, where our authority gets more and more eroded by the state, are those folks in the state house really qualified to talk about what quality education is? And they're not listening to people like Dean Gonzalez, who's the dean of education at Indiana University, or other education experts. They're just kind of doing this, in my opinion, again, to try to erode public education and make people believe that public education is failing. And that's the first and biggest lie. Public education is not failing. There are some school corporations, some schools that do face challenges, and we know that's associated with poverty. But when we look at our school corporation here, we are not failing. We're turning out students. We're graduating more students. We're turning out students with skills and knowledge and kids who get to participate in art, in athletics, in music, in all kinds of things, yet people keep repeating that public schools are failing. And I think we've got to get out there and remind our legislators that we don't like the direction that they're going.
Well, you know, anyone that's ever gone to school is an expert.
Well, of course, yes, we've all gone to school. And even though I went to school 50 years ago, of course, what my memory is what it should be now. And I think that's one of the fallacies, is that we think we know about education, but we really don't.
Well, you know, Sue, you were educated when they had chalkboards and chalk, and that ought to be
exactly
good enough. We don't need all that technology today.
Well, you know, and that's one of those things, Keith, you know, that we, you know, you and I know that we keep hearing about as technology changes. Oh, my goodness, we went from chalkboards to wipe-off boards,
right.
And then we went from film strips to overhead projectors.
Right.
So, yeah, everything does change, and we have, in my opinion, we need to start relying more on the educational experts, not just who work for our school corporation, but who work in our universities and the people. We have tons of people in this community who do educational research and educational consulting. I wish our state legislature would listen to some of those folks who have done research as a living and could actually advise people as to what needs to be happening in public education.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. And you have a forum of early literacy that's going on tonight.
Indiana Coalition for Public Education, the South Central Indiana chapter, at the library at 7 o'clock. We'll be talking about early childhood education and literacy, and I think they're also going to talk about iRead, because iRead now is in the third grade.
And they want to change that now, too.
I figured that would just tie right in.
Yeah, and they want to change that. So this is going to be another great discussion, because it's going to have some early childhood educators from our school corporation and some other folks talking about developmentally appropriate early childhood education and literacy, and also what, how to address the legislature about some of these things that are changing.
And that's tonight at the Monroe Public Library, if anybody's interested, 7 to 8:30, Room 1C, the Forum on Early Literacy. There you go.
Sue, before we finish here, there's something that needs to be cleared up, and that is earlier in the week there was a story in the paper about the testing time for the new I-STEP test, and there was a misreading of what the MCCSC feeling is about the test time, and I know you were one of the people that wanted to say something about that.
Well, our superintendent, Judy DeMuth, did send a letter to Glenda Ritz stating her concern about the extra time. I think she said it's 203 extra minutes that's going in to the new testing time, what that does in terms of taking away from learning time. However, that really didn't get communicated in the HT correctly, and so it looked like surrounding school corporations had a concern, and MCCSC did not.
Right.
And our superintendent has expressed that concern to Glenda Ritz, so I think we also stand with Judy DeMuth that we're really concerned that we keep increasing testing time or tests, and where is the learning time now, and are our teachers only going to be teaching to the test and only preparing for tests? And I know a lot of people have some concerns about that. But then again, that goes back to the legislature that's creating the requirement for testing.
Now, that's another reason why, let's talk about this, Tuesday, February 10th, 6:30 to 8 o'clock at the CoLab at 553 East Miller Drive. That's across the street from the bus garage on Miller Drive. You can't miss it. It's a one-story building, lots of parking. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility because that's where we do the education of teachers and students on computers and use of computers and such. We're going to have a panel on what to expect from the 2015 legislative session and what we can do to protect public education, the kinds of things you've been hearing Sue talk about. Panel members are Dean Geraldo Gonzalez, IU School of Ed, Representative Matt Pierce, Indiana State Representative, Dr. Justin Hunter, Principal at Fairview School, Paul Farmer, the MCEA President, Kathy Fuentes-Rohrer, President of the local chapter of the Indiana Coalition for Public Education, and Mike Welsh, retired MCCSC Principal. Come to this thing. You're going to have an opportunity to ask questions, to get your feelings out there, too, and find out who is doing what and why.
Well, and I think that's the most important thing, Keith, is people will get some very specific, concrete information about what's out there in the legislature, what's being proposed, what's gone through committee, and then how people can respond to that if they want. It's not just going to be a whiny, complaining session. It's going to actually be some real concrete, factual information.
Well, I can tell you, Sue, enrollments in the IU School of Education and education schools around the country are down because of what's going on in education nationally.
Exactly. Who nowadays wants to be a teacher the way people did 10 years ago? They were so inspired. They wanted to go out there. They were going to make a difference. And now who wants to do that as teachers get beat up over and over and over again and told that they are causing schools to fail, which, again, isn't true. So I do hope, Keith, I think we're going to have a packed house. The doors open at 6. The CoLab on Miller Drive is just west of Henderson. It's not hard to find at all. So I hope people will show up and come join us and learn all that we can learn.
Well, and that's good. You wanted to say one last thing. You wanted to mention some people we saluted at the board meeting.
Oh, sure, if we have time.
Real quick, Sue.
Just for you, we'll slide her on in there.
Well, thank you. You know, we always recognize people at the beginning of our school board meetings, and two folks who we mentioned were Glenda and Patrick Murray, who every month make a continuing donation to Fairview Elementary School. They are volunteers there. They work in the library. They work with literacy, and we couldn't thank them enough, and certainly recognition in front of a school board meeting is just one small thing we can do, and it's not, it really isn't enough. And we also honored folks from the HT who developed, Bob Salzberg and Mary Keck developed at Fairview a writing clinic. So they're working with kids on a weekly basis with writing skills and getting them interested in journalism and reporting and writing. And what a great idea. I can't think of anything, any better way for our newspaper to be involved in our school corporation.